So this is our, we're going to continue our topic on Jude. The theme is apostates, false teachers. That's Jude's main theme throughout this epistle. So we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like reasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So I titled this message, Seeking World. A seeking world. The world that we live in, if you notice, they always seek for a sign. They always seek for something. I've heard this countless times before. If only, you know, God would have done this. If he would have done that, I would have believed him. I would know that he exists. I would know this and that. Apostle Paul says, Greeks, they seek for wisdom. They seek for worldly wisdom, creative wisdom. And Jews, they seek for a sign, miracles, wonders. That's pretty much the essence of the whole population of man. They always seek for something smart, wisdom, creative, something that makes sense, logical. How can we believe in a Savior who couldn't even save himself? Or miracles. They always seek for those signs. The simple word of God's truth, it will never be enough. The simple word of God's truth, it can't be enough for these kind of people, for the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we read of a certain character called Demas. I think I'm pronouncing his word right, his name right. It says that, "For Demas has loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." We read another passage of Scripture that this guy, he was very active in the ministry with Paul. And then when you read this, it's almost shocking. It's almost surprising. He was almost as Timothy. He was with Paul everywhere he went. And then we read that he has loved this present world and he left him. He has abandoned him. Deserted, that's what the word means, abandoned. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, that speaks of the parable, a very famous parable that we all know, the parable of the seed and the sower. In verse 13, we read the rocky soil, the one who would believe for a while but fall away in a moment of temptation. That was Demas. And that is anyone who seeks for a sign or seeks for a That's those who are in the church who are seeking these things. That is the seed who are only on rocky soil. And that's exactly what Jude calls these false teachers. They are in this world, but they do not, they simply can't believe the simple word of God's truth. They're always looking for something else. And they are deceiving others. And so the world will continually seek, but it is not God that they seek. It is not God that they seek. And so what the world sees as bondage, which is very interesting for me, what the world sees as a bondage to a person is really freedom with God. And what God sees as freedom, the world sees as bondage. For instance, when a believer walks in the freedom of Christ, they see that as legalism. That he is tied to all these ritualistic things that he has to do. He has to pray, he has to read, he has to associate with other believers and this and that. They add this word "has to" when we don't have to. We want to, we need to. We have to in that sense. But they say, "You don't have to. You're bound to this legalistic, you know, thing. So we want to free you from that." And so use other resources to try to free us from that, to try to love sin, try to get us to love sin, when really that's bondage. And what God sees as bondage, which is sin, they see as freedom. For instance, I was watching this interview with Kirk Cameron, and I forgot the guy's name, but the host, who used to be one of the members on the American Idol. He asked them, is homosexuality a sin? That's the first question they go to, you know, straight into the forehead. And he says, of course, you know, it's a sin. It's not right. It's God's commanded that it's not right, and so forth. And then he starts justifying it. It's a genetic thing. You know, you were born with it. Why would God give you something that he wouldn't be pleased with? So the idea of living free by what the world will say, that this guy was born with it, why can't he just be free? Why can't he just do it? It's really a bondage in God's sight. No matter how you justify it, no matter how you bring it to the table, it's still bondage. And God's judgment is still upon that person. And the result of it is being bound to sin. And so that's what many of the false teachers do. Those who are in the church, they try to smooth sin like butter on bread. It's not real butter. It's like, I can't believe it's not butter. It's not real butter. It's just something that looks like butter. And so repentance and a repented person, they are the ones in God's view who are free. Not this one who justifies sin, who thinks he's free just because the world says he's free. And so because one is justified in God's view, because he saw what Christ has done, because Christ's blood was spilled, because he understands what kind of a sinner he is, that innocent blood had to be shed, and not just innocent, but God's blood, the only blood that he ever had. And he is a new creature because he is justified. And because he is a new creature, his heart is changed. And because his heart has been changed, he has become a child of God. And hates the things that the world loves. And therefore the world sees this as bondage. The world sees this love that we have for God. They see that as being a bondage type of thing. A bunch of legalistic things to follow. And so these false teachers, they have a mentality of what the world believes, what the world sees, what the world thinks. For instance, Romans 8 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And that's what false teachers in the world, they have a carnal mind. They have a carnal understanding. They think as the world thinks, not as the Spirit reveals or what the Bible says. They are spiritually discerned, unable to understand the things of the Spirit. So how can they lead the church? They are detestable, disobedient, and worthless for any good work, as Titus explains to us. And they try to free those who are already free from God's judgment. And so they see that, again, as a bondage. Why I'm trying to stress this is this big gap in between those who are in the world, who are trying to act as the sheep, but really they're the wolves. There's this big gap that they're trying to free these other people who are already free, that they see as being bound, you know, to some standards, God's high standard. And so there are these apostates, these false teachers that Jude speaks about. They are continually, as we mentioned before, defiling the flesh. It's quite interesting that right before verse 8, verse 7, obviously speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah, mentions that they have gone after strange flesh. And here, in verse 8, says, likewise, they defile the flesh. So we know that that's an immoral type of defilement. They defile the flesh immorally, and not just that, they defile the flesh. Every breath they take is a defilement of their flesh, is a defilement of everything that they are, everything that they have. If you remember in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, you were bought with a price. We were bought with a price, those who are Christians. But these people, apostates, there's only one thing that's reserved for them. Verse 13 says, the blackest of darkness forever. Since these false teachers live in defilement, since they live in such a filthy, corrupt, polluted life, simply by not giving God glory, simply not by praising Him, He has created all things are to glorify Him, and they defile their flesh simply by not glorifying God. They defile the flesh by everything they do, every breath they take. And by them defiling themselves, they give us a clear understanding that Christ is not their authority. They are not under authority under Christ's power, Christ's law. And so, Christ is very interesting. Many people I see in where I work, they have this gold chain and they have this cross on there. You've probably seen that before. And the first thought I used to think, boy, this guy must be a holy guy to have this big cross. You know, he's probably not ashamed of Jesus. But that's really all that they are. The only thing that they see about Jesus is this gold chain. Because their life really doesn't show that Christ is their authority. Christ governs them. Christ rules them. It does not show that at all. And then their lifestyle by these false teachers that have crept in unnoticed into the church. Again, Jude is writing all this for us to pinpoint, for us to understand who these are, that the church, the true believers, may disassociate with them, that the church may be pure. And so false teachers, they often say, Lord, Lord, or they all will say, in the judgment day, Lord, Lord, as if it would mean anything. They say that continually even if they live. Lord, Lord, they do lengthy prayers and so forth as though it means anything. If you remember in Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, when they thought that they were children of God, they tried to release a demon-possessed man. And what happened? They got beat up, stripped naked, and thrown out. Because God's power, again, the authority of Christ was not upon them. They have not repented. They loved darkness rather than light. Scripture continually says, it's very clear about those who live in the flesh, that they love darkness rather than light. Pride overrides them. Pride rules them. And the message of humility and repentance, it only does one thing, it angers them. When you hear of repentance, or when they hear of repentance or humility, that's what repentance is to humble yourself before God. That angers them. They hate the message, they hate the messenger, and they hate the one, the boss, who sends the messengers. They hate God. They hate all of it. And when the true messengers of God rise up, they speak evil of them, and they aim to destroy them. So, all this is kind of an introduction to the last part of verse 8. They revile, some translations say revile angelic majesties. Others say angelic beings, I believe. But really, in Greek, and revile means blasphemeo. That's where we get the word blaspheme from. So really it means to blaspheme. And the word angelic majesties, it's one word, it's glory. It's doxa. And so my understanding of these verses, my own conviction is that it is not angels that he's referring to, even though that's what I've understood for a long time. However, I do believe that it's talking about saints, believers, that they revile believers. They blaspheme those whom God has placed in authority, whom God has placed. He has given them this glory. He has given them this light. Jesus has spoken that you are the light of the world. In the same time when he says you are the salt of the world. So we have this light. We are those glorious ones. And so They are reviling, blaspheming those who are in leadership. Why? Because they can't stand the message that we preach. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so the Sermon on the Mount, again, speaks of this light that we have. You are the light of the world. He has sent us to be the light of the world. Israel couldn't fulfill it, so the church is. Through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, we are that light. And so we profess this message of light that God has given us. And again, those who are false, they're in the darkness. And when this light comes upon them, they hate it. They want to continue to be in the darkness. And when their darkness is exposed, they revile and they blaspheme them. And so we are only glorious because he is glorious, and his glory is within us. And these false teachers that blaspheme the true believers, they do it through instinct, as verse 11 says. Verse 10. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. And so they follow their own instincts. They defile, they absolutely blaspheme those who come against them, because again, they're exposing this darkness that they have inside. They're completely dead to spiritual matters. And when a person is speaking the truth, that does something to them. They hate it as the demons hated Jesus. And so next week we'll see a little bit more about this, how like unreasoning animals by instinct, that drives them to hell. And we'll continue our verses, our sections here, and how he again brings Cain, Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah, how he ties to all this together. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.